Welcome to New Life, man. I love the fall season. I was just thinking about this week. I work outside, but I've been spending a little bit of extra time outside. You know, things are changing and leaves are falling. I would rival the depths of leaves in my yard compared to anyone else's, I think. I was out there at night in the dark, because I couldn't get them all done the other night. And I know my neighbors were like, what is this lunatic doing? But really, I wanted it to be really dark so I could blow them into their yard, because that's where a lot of them came from. But I didn't. But, you know, so the leaves are falling. It's hunting season. But if we think about the fall in a spiritual aspect, and we think about what fall brings. Fall brings death, right? And some bugs die. Hallelujah. Some weeds die, weak animals die, but all of this happens so that when spring comes, because fall leads us into winter, right, which is cold and miserable, and some people really like it, and they're weird, but when spring comes, all the stuff that died allows things new to have life. And this is just like our flesh, because it must die in order for this to happen. Our flesh must die so that new life can come. We can't keep our old life and then hope that some new life comes along with it. And if you're lost, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you kind of think that's happening in your life. But until you experience the flesh dying, right? Surrendering it, dying. And our verse for new life that God gave me when we started this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, not some things, all things are become new. And that's what we must remember, is that salvation is not just another thing to add to our life. Our old life is gone. Man, our old things are passed away, and all things are become new. You know, some of us long for warm weather year round. And there's places that's true where you can go and be that. But God has placed each and every one of us in the Midwest. And this is what we get. We get crazy hot summers and crazy cold winters. And we get the full aspect of all the four of the seasons. And what we do with it, though, and we're getting to where we're going, what we do with those four seasons, what we do with the seasons in our life, they're up to us. The same goes with our walk with God. He has given us new life, and it's up to us as to what we're going to do with it. He's offering us, man, here's everything that you need, right? Maybe not everything that you want, because that's what we want. We want to rub the genie and get three wishes. But God is like, I'm going to provide you with everything that you need in this new life. And here's the thing. You are going to have to make a choice what you do with it. Because oftentimes he's given us his word, and what do we do with it? We put it up on the top shelf and say, man, I've got a Bible. I just don't know anything about it. I don't ever open it. What are we going to do about that? How often do we behold, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold. Does anyone, when you read that verse or you quote that verse, do you ever think about that word behold? That word behold means to know, be aware of. We need to be aware of the new things. We're aware that, man, my life changed when I met Jesus. But are you aware of the opportunities that God has for us and in the future, in today? I was just thinking about that this week. Because how often do I behold the newness of my life? How often do I really think about that and give God praise for that? Or how often do I take advantage of it? Because it was offered to me freely. It was a gift of God. And sometimes we can take advantage of that and forget how important that gift is. So just think about that today. So last week, we looked at Paul, how he was a living sacrifice, and he used his life for the glory of God. And even if that meant losing his life for others to know Christ, he was cool with that. There were some actions that took place in his life that brought him the crown of righteousness when he met Jesus. And we talked about that, and I'm not going to get into it much. But the three things were: he fought a good fight, he finished the course, he kept the faith. And God has us right here in this book, all of us, so that we can be reminded of what we need to be doing. doing our role. We need to be reminded daily of what our role is and how we need to be doing it. We need to be executing, because to know something and to do it are two different things. It takes putting something into action. We must be fighting the faith, for the faith. We must understand that we are at war, and there's a battle for souls. And what's awesome is we get to be the messenger to deliver the good news, though the ones that we're delivering it to may not understand that it's good news until we deliver it. And you know what? We do all of this while we're dodging bullets, man. We're like, some of us maybe have been in the service. I have not, but sometimes it's cool to pretend, right? And you're out, and next Sunday we're going to be able to take these little invitation cards and invite people to come and have Christmas cookies and get a gift for their child and sing some Christmas songs and just have sweet time together. And there's going to be bullets, guys, that we're going to, hopefully not physical bullets, but Mrs. Clinton. But you know what? There's going to be bullets, because the devil's like, no, Jack, I don't want you to do that. I do not want you to go to your neighbor. I do not want you to take the word to anyone. So he's going to start firing. What are we going to do? We're going to bob and weave, right? That's what we're going to do, because we're going to keep pressing towards the mark. So you know what? Some of his tactics work. That's the sad part. Some people find that the fight is too hard and they bow out. But others, I hope that we can identify with these others, we're fighting tooth and nail, doing whatever it takes to get the word out, living like we talked about last week, like every second counts, because it does. We cannot get them back. We cannot rewind. It's as they tick by, they're gone. They're in the past. I was thinking about, I didn't learn much in school, but I remember the story of Paul Revere and how he rode that midnight ride to warn that the British were coming. Risking his own life for the sake of others, taking a message to them to save their life, warning them, listen, you got to get moving. And God has instructed us to do the same thing. We got to mount up, get on the horse, and take the message. Paul finished his course, the statement of finishing his course, he says that he could say that because he was wise to the time that he was allotted. He used every second that as it counted. He was also able to keep the faith. So today we're going to move a little closer to the end. We're drawing near to the end of this. And a lot of this goes together, but there's just no possible way for us to cover all of this, because I just can't do that. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 9 through 15, but we're not going to get through all of that. But it really all goes together, and it needed to be together, but I just could not condense it to make it be together. So let's read that together for the sake of what's going on. In verse 9, it says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world and departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Demalia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Father God, we pray today, God, we would look at this passage and just see how you are working in and among us. And God, seeing what's going on in this passage, but what's really going on in the body of Christ today. And God, it's so fitting for us to see this passage in the times that we live in, because all of these things that we're going to look at today are happening all around us. We may not be privy to it, but God, I pray you open our eyes, and God, that we would be prudent to what's going on and be diligent with our time, and Father, just to be aware and awake. And Father, I pray that you wouldn't find any of us sleeping. And I'm not talking physical, I'm talking spiritual, God, and you know that. And God, that we would be about your business. And so God, we just thank you, pray you speak your words through me today, and you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I titled this, and these are going to be our three points as well. Some will come, right? Some will come, some will go, and some will stay. Some will come, some will go, and some will stay. And it's right out of, we're going to look at verses 9 through 11 today, just three verses, and we're going to see this: some will come, some will go, and some will stay. And there's, you know what, the point number one, well, some will go, in verse 9, do thy diligence do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. All right, so Paul is telling Timothy, man, I hurry up and come to me. And there's some in our life that will do whatever it takes to come to you when you're in your time of need. Some will come to Christ, some may not. Some will come to the well of God's word, some will not. But Paul knew of Timothy's faithfulness and that he could count on him. And we all need a friend in the faith like this. When things get tough, they'll be the ones that come running into the fire for you. They will not let your circumstances dictate whether they will come or not. This word come here, it's a Greek word, it's spoudazo. I'm like, that is an awesome word. They will spoudazo right over to be with you, no matter what you're going through. Add that to your vocabulary and see what your coworkers say. Spoudazo, right? Sometimes I can't even pronounce them. I'm like, that's an awesome word, I can pronounce that. Paul's like, man, spoudazo to come here with me, right? To make short of the time. Don't waste any time. Get after it. And I was thinking about the time that Jesus was on earth during his public ministry. There were some that followed him wherever he went. And there were some that just wouldn't go all in. In John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Right? He had a multitude of disciples following him, learning from him. And there come a point in their life and they're like, nope. I'm not crossing that line. I'm not willing to go that far. I'm not willing to be 100% in. So they're like, I'm going back. I just can't, Jesus. Church, we need to be the ones that are willing to follow, the ones that will come no matter what, the ones that see opportunities to minister to our brothers and sisters in their time of need. And if you want, you can turn to John chapter 6. Did you notice that John chapter 6, verse 66 leads to those that won't follow Jesus? Numbers matter. The devil's a punk.
Oh yeah.
And he led them right away, right? But if you carry on, and we'll just start in 66 again. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, but in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Are you going to follow them as well? Jesus already knows the answers to the question. He's like a good parent, knows the answers to the question, right? But he says that. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's like, listen, where are we going to go? This is us, church. Where are we going to go? Because some of us, man, are tempted to just, man, that looks really nice. Man, that would be so much easier of a life. And Peter's like, Jesus, we have nowhere else to go. Who else would we possibly follow? And in verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil? He was privy to what's going on. But what we need to understand is that, the world has a lot of things to offer. But Jesus is like, just follow me. Just follow me. This word, man, we need to key in on this word in our text, the word come. Because Paul tells Timothy to come shortly unto me. And Jesus tells us to come unto him, come to him for salvation, come to him to unload our burdens. And just as Paul tells Timothy to come quickly, God desires for mankind to come quickly to him because the seconds are ticking by. And he came to seek and save those which are lost. The Bible tells us that Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and are we willing to open the door? Are we willing to answer the call? And Timothy, though he's not, this is not what's going on here, Paul's not trying to lead Timothy to the Lord. He's like, man, just do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy was faced with a decision. Was he willing to travel to see his friend to comfort and minister to him in his time of need. And obviously there were some things that we're going to see next week that he needed to bring along with him. But was he willing to do that? Of course he was. And we're going to see in the weeks to come that there's, like I said, a couple reasons he needed to be quick about this. Paul had done so much for Timothy's faith, investing in him, discipling him, encouraging him as he's a young pastor in Ephesus. And man, it was the least that Tim, it was his reasonable service to his brother Paul, the least he could do. So he was, man, some will come, guys. Some will come to into our life when we call. First and foremost, it must be Jesus Christ, but some will come, right? We have those brothers and sisters in our life that we have on speed dial that when something's going awry or maybe something's going good, right, that we can call them and we know that they're right there with us no matter what. Greater love hath no man than a man that lay down his life for his friend. And sometimes that life is a few minutes. Sacrificing a little bit of time to encourage a brother or sister. Verse 10, some will go. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. We're going to go with that. There's something that is very key that we must pick up in this verse, and it's the three names. Three different characters that are involved in what's going on in Paul's life. But one of them we see, right? Isn't there that song for kids? Which one's different? I don't know. But there's something different about one of these guys. And this Demas, he chose the world. You know, the Bible is very clear in 2 John, or in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, abide forever. Demas was, man, he had chose the world. Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed. Demas was by Paul's side, as we can see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. In Philemon chapter 24, it also says that it's mentioned that he's being there with Paul. He had served as part of Paul's ministry team during his first house arrest in Rome in AD 60 through 62. And this verse makes for a sad ending to the Bible's description of a man. Here he is said to have loved the world more than the work of the ministry, the work of an evangelist, the work of whatever his role was. So he left Paul, and he left the other believers and went to Thessalonica. We'll touch on that again, but the second person Paul refers to here is Crescens. This person is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I couldn't find anything about him. There's not much spoken about him. But he was a believer that served with Paul at some point during Paul's second Roman imprisonment and had later gone to Galatia. Maybe he was going back there. You know, there's a lot of the speculation, and we can speculate all we want. Maybe we can say he was going back to evangelize those that were there. Or he was going back to do something for the Lord there, and the text doesn't tell us. But it leaves us to believe that he was left on better terms than Demas did, right? Or Paul would have included that for Demas and who else, right? So we could say that he was on better terms. The third person Paul mentions is Titus, and he had left for Dalmatia. Again, the reason for his departure is unknown as well, but likely it was to go and evangelize those folks. And here's what we must understand, and here's what we all must know, is that not everyone leaves the church because they are turning their back on God. Some do, and some, man, they love the world and go bounding off into it, thinking that it has so much to offer, right? And there's a sad ending to that love. They're loving something that is going to burn with a fervent heat. It's going to melt away. It's going to be gone forever, and they're loving something that will not last, because the only two things that that will last is the Word of God and souls of men. They're like a teenage girl that falls head over heels, right, for a boy just to have her heart broken over and over again. It's pain that we bring into our lives that is not needed and is not necessary. But sometimes we see and we begin to lust and we're like, man, that is really nice. Right? Sometimes that lust gets us, most all the time, that lust gets us in trouble. Here's the question. Should we pursue after these folks that leave? Of course we should, right? They're our brothers and sisters. But what we must understand is ultimately they make their own decisions. And whether it's for the Lord and the Lord's calling them to go somewhere else, or the devil's a punk and he's got a lasso around somebody, dragging them back into the world, it's their own decision. All we can do is love them and preach truth to them and pray for them and encourage those that are going to do another work. There's some like the other two, though, right? Demas, off in the world. Can't do much about that. Crescens and Titus, as far as we can tell, they're going back to what they were doing and continuing on with the ministry, and they didn't leave on bad terms. And this is like when God calls some of us away for another work. Just like God called a group of us from HBF in Harrisonville to come to Clinton to start a new work. This is like God calling folks from another church to come and help with the work here that God is doing, right? Mm-hmm. We left ministries, we left friendships, we left relationships, we left families, we left homes. And this is not an easy thing. But when God calls, what else do you do? Right. You can live your life to be miserable, kicking and screaming against God's call. Or you could just be obedient. You can trust Him in all of our ways. So just because, what I want us to understand here, just because people, because we've experienced this at New Life. In a small church, it's super magnified. Some people leave, right? For good and bad reasons. But just because they leave doesn't mean they're chasing what the world has to offer. Think about Christ when he was at the end, when the end came for his time on earth. Who was left? Who was with him? Nobody. They'd all left. I'll go all the way with you, God, Jesus. No, you won't. But you know what? Jesus knew his calling and he knew his purpose and he knew the cross awaited him. But so did his Father. And though Christ says, there in his last moments, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can say, why did God allow that to happen to his Son? The Father stepped aside because Jesus bore the sins of the world. And that sin had to be crucified on the cross. And God had to get out. God cannot be with sin, right? So he had to remove himself so that Jesus Christ could pay the penalty for the sin of the world on the cross. He never abandoned him. He was waiting. So when we feel abandoned and alone, we must remember that, man, God is near. He is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Bible tells us that. And Paul had very clear understanding of that as well. And you know what? Paul just desired to have some of his brethren together. Maybe it was to rally the troops to get the message out with the last minutes of his life. Or maybe it was just for simple comfort. We'll find out. He just desired to have some of his brethren together, though. But really, it doesn't matter because Paul had the Lord and so do we. So don't. Here's what we must understand is do not place your faith in man. Because the second you do, man, it's going to be a bad ending to that. We must keep our faith in God. And Psalm chapter 118, verse 8 says it perfect. Because it said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because the second we put that confidence in man, they're going to fall, we're going to fall, something's going to happen. The relationship's going to be severed. Just keep it, man, just trust the Lord. It's great to have brothers and sisters and to have great friendships. Just don't, man, don't put too much faith in them. Because we still wear this flesh. And then number three, some will stay. Some will stay. Verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There are some that will stick through no matter what. They will be by your side through thick and thin, just as those that come running into the fire. There are some that stay there in the fire with you. They know and understand their calling to stay and minister where God has them at that time. And Luke is one of those men. And Paul says, only Luke is left. Only Luke is left. Though some had left for various reasons, Luke was still there. And so who's Luke? Well, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. We know that. And we also know that he was a physician, right? We already read it in Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician. Luke was one of Paul's friends, and we see here that he was also a physician. In Philemon, Paul refers to him as also as a fellow servant. A fellow servant. And we can see in Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn there with me, we're cruising right through this today. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 11, we understand that Luke is writing here. Now when they had gone through Persia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Caesarea, they stayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we have to identify that we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Luke was there. He was with Paul. He was part of this journey, this missionary journey. He was about the business. And man, he was ready to go and preach the gospel with his brother Paul. He spent a great deal of time with Paul during these journeys. And now we find him again with Paul as he's imprisoned. And it could be for a various amount of reasons that he was there. He had traveled with him and I'm going to just stay and hang out with my buddy Paul. But it could have been to give attention to Paul's ailments. Right? Luke's a physician. Paul's, been pretty beat up. He's locked up in prison. He probably needed somebody to take care of him. And Luke's like, man, God has gifted me. Luke was a smart dude. Okay, if you study out who Luke was, man, he's like a genius. Okay, he was also a physician. I'm pretty sure doctors have to be smart. I'm not one. So, but Luke was a great guy. He was smart, and he was gifted in many, 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 many ways. And so maybe he was staying there to give attention, take care of Paul, make sure he stayed well, or because God had told Luke to stay there and carry out the mission. Getting the word to the people. Paul's locked up, okay? Paul can't go out on the street and stand on his soapbox and preach the gospel. He can't go knock on doors. He can't go invite people to meet Jesus. He can't do that. But he can say, hey, Luke, take this mission and go out of this place and go make disciples. That's the thing. Are we getting the word to the people? We're staying, right? We're all here today. But are we on mission? Are we on mission? Or are we just as good as those that left? Because we're just like, yeah, I'm cool with just doing nothing. God has called us for a purpose. And we need to be using the voice that He's given us, the lives that He's given us, to reach the lost world, to invite people to Jesus. Don't just invite them to church, right? They don't have to come to church to meet Jesus. God has given us the ability to take the gospel to them. Are we truly doing that? All we truly know about Luke, though, is that he was there. He was faithful to stay, which, it's where the third point comes from. Some will stay. It was not easy to be there. And here's the thing, it would have been much, much easier for him to leave, to carry on about his business. But he was a faithful man. And he loved Paul, and he was a brother, and he was going to stick by him as long as he could. And the thing with ministry, and if you're not involved in ministry, this is not a good plug for ministry, but the thing with ministry is you're going to be under attack. It doesn't matter what level of ministry you're in. If you're serving Jesus Christ with your life, if you're involved in what he is doing, nowhere does it say it's going to be easy. In fact, it says the opposite. Man, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to be hard. There's bullets flying, right? But here's the thing. God is going before us. If we just tuck in behind him, instead of trying to go out and lead the fight, because that's the problem, is that we're like, man, I'm so bad to the bone that I can just, no, bullets kill you, okay? And so do the tactics of the devil. But if we'll tuck into rank and follow God step by step as he leads each one of our steps of life, man, he'll protect us. And you know what? If it's our time to go, it's our time to go. And promotion, that's what happens. Paul makes another request to Timothy. He had already told him to come quickly, but there was another thing that he needed him to do. Because it says there, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He desired for him to bring Mark along. And if anybody knows anything about what's happened between Paul and Mark, if you don't, you're going to know now. So turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Some of you are like, yeah, I know this story. That's good. Acts 15, 36. There's a little bit of a disagreement. Anybody ever have a disagreement? This morning, I had a disagreement, right? We all have disagreements. It's just what happens, okay? And in Luke, or in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41, it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas," you know, Paul and Barnabas, that is pretty tight, "let us go again and visit our brethren in every city which we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Let's take another journey. Let's go out back out and check on them, right? Planted these churches, made these disciples. Let's go check on them. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. He's like, okay, we're going to do this, but let's take this guy along with us. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So now, fast forward, Paul's telling Timothy, go find Mark and bring him because he's needful. He's needful for the ministry. There was a time when Paul chose not to take Mark with him as he journeyed. And here's the thing that we must understand is that we are all joined in the faith, and there's to be unity, right? But sometimes perfect unity is not attainable. It's just impossible. Sometimes it's better to go our separate ways. Still in the faith, right? Just doing the work of the Lord in different places, hoping that one day they can be unified. And this is exactly what's awesome, is this is exactly what takes place between Paul and Mark. Maybe there was some growing up in the faith that needed to happen. Maybe Mark was an immature believer and needed some training, and that is why Barnabas took him with him to continue to be discipled. Because that's what needs to happen in all of our lives. Paul's now requesting that Timothy bring Mark back to him. Why? Exactly why the text says this. Because it's profitable for the ministry. There was a time period that had taken place between these two events, and now Paul desired to see Mark serve with him. And this is why we as a church don't just open up ministry to just anybody that comes in off the street, right? It's not like we're control freaks. No, it's because there's some reasons. Maybe there's some growing that needs to happen, some proving that needs to happen. There's ministry for all saints, but the word must come first. And this may seem unfair to some, and I've had discussions with some in the past years that they just don't agree with this. But the Lord instructs us to do things decently and in order. And maybe that's what's going on between Paul and Mark here. And then one of the many reasons, this is one of the many reasons we disciple here, not just so that we can get people into the ministry, it's so that we can get them established in the Word of God. And you know what? This is not just a unique thing because it's happening all over the place, making disciples. We must get people established in the Word of God. There's four goals to discipleship, but the main goal of discipleship is to get people established in God's Word, to walk in it, to swim in it, to live it, to, man, let it lead us. And there's an age-old saying that doctrine must come before duty. Because everybody can serve, right? Everybody, man, I can do whatever you want to do. Like this Christmas thing, there's going to be ample opportunities for people to do things. But not everybody is willing to study God's Word. And then the byproduct of that is that the Word's not flowing through the pipe. And oftentimes what's flowing through the pipe, you know what I mean? It's going out into the sewer. So the moral for today is this. Some will come. Some will go. Some will stay. All of these can bring joy. All of these can bring heartache as well. But we must trust the Lord and make sure our faith is in Him and not in mankind. And because like I said, man will fail us, but God never ever will. And we'll wrap up with just a quick story. You know, in my time since I've known the Lord, I've seen a few of my brothers in the faith live out these three things here before my very eyes. And what's really unique about God and me is that, man, He's protected me. I've went through some fires, but He's protected me from so many things and allowed me to be that person from the outside looking in to learn, right? To see what's going on and say, you better watch out. You better watch. You better be, man, you better be awake to know what's going on, because all of these things that are happening before you can happen to you. You know, I've had some come into my life and help me grow, and I've had some leave my life for various reasons. Some good, some not good. And I've had some that have stuck by me through thick and thin. But you know what? I have one thing in common is that I love them all the same. I love them all the same. It's like loving your enemies. How do you do that? Only God can do it, right? Because bitterness, man, it's so ugly. It's such a sin. And we can't hold bitterness in our hearts. And my daughter, at a young age, reminded me of that like daily as she would quote this verse and in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32. This is something you need to memorize, y'all. In verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of that, no good comes from. But verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we would live our life according to that, and we would treat people like that, and our relationships with people were built upon something like that, things would change in our life. Because people are going to come, people are going to go, and people are going to stay. And you know what? It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to continue to happen. Whether it be in church or just be in your life or your workplace, right? The turnover rates in the workplace today are like, if you can get people to work, are completely ridiculous. Because people just jump from, oh, you're going to pay me 30 cents more? I'm going to go there, right? And people are just, and the problem is the same is happening in the churches. Ooh, you got better music? Peace out. Are you kidding me? Really? How about, are they preaching God's word? Do they hold fast to that? Are they making disciples? No, but man, they got a cool sound system and they got lights and smoke and, you know, I use that as an example, but it's the problem is it's true in the world that we have today. We have to make things sexy in order for people to be attracted to them, right? When really, strip it all away, get us an oak tree and let's plant this baby outside and get to preaching God's word. Well, you only have 5 people there. Hallelujah. Just remember that. Some will come, some will stay, some will go. Let's pray.